I had a message prepared. And as we were sitting there in worship, and I was kneeled down on the side, the Lord said, scratch it. And if you're new here, we've been in the book of Matthew, and we're going through this journey, and we're going to keep going through that journey. But today, I really feel led by the Spirit to switch things up just a little bit, if you will bear with me. So don't go too far, because we're going to come right back up in like 15, 20 minutes. I want to go to the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The beauty of being a pastor is that I can be obedient to the Holy Spirit and switch things up. You can. Thank you, brother. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says this. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Another version of the Bible says it is your reasonable worship. If you know the book of Romans, you know that all this time Paul has been writing and talking about like how utterly and shamefully broken and sinful and jacked up humanity is. And the first three chapters are all about that. And then he transitions and he talks about the wonder of the salvation that Jesus provides through his sacrifice on the cross, to the point that like we are now no longer dead in our sins, but we are dead to sin, and we are alive in the Spirit, and we are no longer slaves of the flesh or slaves of sin, but now a slave of the Spirit and slaves of righteousness. And that's when he gets to verse 12 and he says, therefore, I appeal to you. I urge you. I like cry out to you. I want you to know how utterly important this is, brothers, that by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual or reasonable worship. Now, I believe that what God wants to do this morning is he wants to give us a proper perspective of what worship is. Because I don't know if you understand this, but every single week that we get, that we come into this building, that we sit through an hour or so, 40 minutes or so of worship, is not for the sake of putting on a performance. It's not for the sake of putting on a concert for you or to just sing a bunch of songs. Like there's a reason for this. There's a method to the madness. There's a reason for how passionate we ask you to be. And I mean, you see people up front and they're kneeling and they're crying and they're weeping. And I want you to know that that's not just an emotional behavior. Like when we come together to worship, it's not just to sing a bunch of songs, but it is to respond to who God is. It's to respond to his goodness. It's to respond to his greatness. It's to respond to his mercy and his kindness and his majesty and his authority and his power and his mercy. Like it's a worship is more than just a bunch of lyrics and a bunch of sounds and a bunch of instruments. It's an active heart responding to the person, the power, and the nature of God. And the fact is that when we gather together on Sunday mornings, it's for much more than for us to just hang out and to listen to an inspirational message, which happens very rarely here anyways. But it's for much more than just making you feel good for 45 minutes. And I need to say this because today's modern day church in America has made a Sunday morning all about reaching people and making sure people feel comfortable and making sure people are happy and making sure the air conditioning is set just to the right temperature and the kids ministry is safe and clean and fun, and you come into an environment where you bring all of your baggage, all of your issues, you don't ever change, and you leave this place the same way you came because it's a performance that we do every single Sunday. Because the reality is that most of us, we love comfort. We love the things that are predictable. We love our worship to be predictable. We love to sing the songs that we know. We love the moments that don't stretch us. We love emotions that we can control. But if we're honest, my fear for the church is that we have made comfort the goal instead of God's glory. And that's why many of us, let's be honest, we don't lift our hands, we don't bow, we don't clap, we barely sing. And listen, please hear my heart. This is not about yelling at the church, because I thought our worship this morning was phenomenal. But I want you to truly understand what is happening and what should happen in this environment. Worship is much more than just singing songs. Worship is much more than inspiring you and motivating you and making you feel good about yourself. Worship is response to the glory of God. And the question that I have for you this morning is simply this: is God worthy of comfortable worship or courageous worship? Is he worthy of worship that's just easy for you? Is he worthy of worship that like, as long as you feel like you and of yourself don't toe the line between comfort and discomfort? Is he worthy of comfortable worship or courageous worship? Because scripture never shows us people encountering God and staying comfortable the way that they are. In fact, it shows us the opposite. That when people truly met God, something happened. That they didn't stay the same, that they didn't stay silent, that they didn't stay seated, that they didn't stay safe. Instead, we see a picture of a prophet who's named Isaiah. That's when he's standing in the presence of God. He's standing in the presence of God, and the glory of God fills the room in such a powerful way, much like what was happening this morning. And Isaiah looked up to heaven, and he said, "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips. I am unworthy of this presence." And instead of feeling comfortable in the presence of God, he collapses in the presence of God because he says, "Woe is me, I am undone." And my fear is that so many of us, unlike Isaiah, actually have too much confidence in the presence of God. That when God actually shows up in the fullness of his glory, we were actually talking about this in our discipleship group this past Thursday. And it, by the way, if you don't have a discipleship group, go become a part of a discipleship group. I promise you, you'll love it. You're going to get challenged, and there's amazing groups. But we were talking in our discipleship group of the gap between how great God is and how much we miss the mark. That you understand that when you are coming into this environment, you're not just coming into a room with lights and music, but you're coming into the very presence of a holy, powerful, majestic, and mighty God who created you, who formed you in your mother's womb, who gave you an identity and a purpose, and oh, by the way, died and carried the cross for your sins. And that even the most beautiful thing about you, the most incredible thing about you, the greatness within you pales in comparison to the glory of God. So Isaiah, being a righteous and holy man as he was, could stand in the presence of God, receive the glory of God revealed unto him, and say, woe is me. Woe is such a powerful word, because it's like this utter awakening of the reality of the despair of your soul. When they said, woe is me, it was like them saying, there is no hope for me. He looks to heaven. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I'm undone. Moses, when he enters the space where he encounters the burning bush, which was God revealing himself. It was the glory of God, the power of God calling out to Moses. Moses enters this cave where this bush is burning, and he's like, oh my gosh, this thing's on fire, but nothing around it, like, it's not dying in the flames. It's actually alive. And oh, by the way, it's speaking to me, and it's the voice of God and the presence of God calling out to Moses when he reveals himself to him. And Moses, and when he says to Moses is, Moses, take the sandals off of your feet, for the place that you stand is holy. Maybe that's because sometimes the things that create a barrier between you and actually encountering the presence and the fullness of God need to be removed from your life. Sometimes maybe it's because when you come into the presence and it's a real presence of God, I'm not just talking about like a concert. I'm talking about like, you know, and you could feel, and I know that you felt it, because this room felt different. Do you understand that you're in the presence of a holy God? And have you taken a moment to examine yourself to see what needs to come off? Maybe that's your pride. Maybe that's your idols. Maybe that's your anger. Maybe that's your insecurity. Maybe that's your fear. Maybe that's your anxiety. Maybe that's your depression. Maybe that's your hopelessness. Maybe that's the sin that you need to take off, remove, put away, and put to death, so that you might actually experience and encounter the fullness of the glory of God that is the only thing that can change your life. Listen to me. None of this will do anything for you. Even in and of myself, I can do nothing for you. The only thing that could change your life is the revealed glory and manifestation of the presence and the power of God. And then your surrender unto that. Notice that God didn't tell Moses to relax. He says, take off your sandals, because this place is holy. Listen to me, Sunday mornings are holy. I'm going to say this because I see a bunch of new faces in the room. So if this is your introduction to me, forgive me. I'm sorry. I love you. But listen to me. Many of you come from these churches because it's Vineland and it's Cumberland County. And many of you come from these churches that like, they're okay, and they're urging you to come to church on Sundays because they want your tithe and they want your offering and they want your gifts and they want your talents. And they want your service. And listen to me, I don't give, pardon my language, two craps about any of that. Now, forgive me if I have offended you. I don't give two darns. about any of that. Cahoots, let's use that word. That's a clean, you know, kindergarten word. I don't give two cahoots about any of that. You know why I want you here on a Sunday morning? Because this is a holy ground. And it is the only environment that you need to be in to encounter the presence of God and never be the same. That's what this is about. Don't get me wrong. Your tithes is needed. Your offering is needed. Your service is needed. But more than all of that, the salvation of your soul is needed. I think of the shepherds one day, which is it's a Christmas story, and the angels of the Lord shows up, and the shepherds, they see the glory, and they hear the voices, and the angels come declaring, man, peace on earth and peace unto all men. And the Bible says that the shepherds were terrified. When the women encounter the tomb at the cross, or at the resurrection, after Jesus has been in the tomb for 3 days and three nights and he resurrected, the women come because they're trying to like take care of the body and all of that stuff. And when they come, they discover that the tomb is empty. And when they discover the tomb is empty, the angels show up. The glory of God is revealed. And the Bible says that the women trembled. I think we've gotten too casual in the presence of God in the church. No, because you treat this like everything, you know, we treat this like everything else in our life. Go to work, casual. In fact, some of us are more committed to our work than we are to the church. Some of us go to work with more reverence than we do to the church. We treat this like it's a common hang, like there's no, but listen to me, no one encounters God and then literally stays the same. In fact, says, that was a good time. That was a great service. That felt good. I really liked it when Abby hit that note. No one does that. Anyone who's ever encountered the presence of God does the opposite, and they tremble, and they declare how terrified they are, and they declare how holy the moment is, and they say, God is holy, he's terrifying, he's majestic, he's beautiful, he's wonderful, and he's worth everything that I have to offer in this life. So when we hear that, the tension is that we live in a culture that trains us to avoid discomfort at all costs. We live in a culture that where we curate our playlists, we skip through songs we like or we don't like, we disengage when worship doesn't hit our emotional thermostats or temperatures, and slowly, without meaning to, we turn worship into something that God gives us instead of something that we give unto God. But worship was never meant to be comfortable for us. Romans tells us that it was meant to be costly, that it was meant to be a sacrifice. And this is our true and proper and reasonable worship. And a sacrifice, by definition, costs us something. It costs us our time. It costs us our pride. It costs us our control. It costs us our vulnerability. It costs us something that is much more than just a song. And listen to me, it might even be a song, but just because it's a song, and just because there's sound coming out of your mouth, just because there's lyrics on the screen, it does not mean it's worship. And David understood this, because in 2 Samuel chapter 24, somebody gives an offering unto the Lord unto David, for David to make to the Lord. And David says, no, I will not give to God what costs me nothing. And yet we boldly come in, and I say we, Okay, so nobody gets offended. I say we boldly come into the presence of God, bringing nothing that cost us anything, and think that we're good. Because we've done our reasonable service, and we bring our cloth clap offering to God. But what if on a Sunday morning we said, I won't give God anything that doesn't cost me something? You see, comfortable worship says, I'll worship as long as it feels natural. Courageous worship says, I'll worship because he's worthy even when it stretches me. Let's be honest. For some of us, stepping out of our comfort means lifting our hands when normally we wouldn't. For others, it's doing much more. But what is the Lord? What are you being inspired to do? Because hear me, it's not about you lifting hands. Because hands do not save us. Like, lifting hands doesn't save us, but surrender, it shapes us. So you think it's just an act of like, I'm just lifting up my hands. No, it is an act of taking myself out of the picture and bringing to God what belongs to him, so that my act of surrender, whether that's lifting up my hands or lifting up my voice or bowing to the ground or simply removing the obstacles in my heart that keep me guarded and protected so God doesn't actually touch the deepest parts of me, that act of surrender shapes you. And it changes you, and it transforms you. For some of us, it means singing again after we've been disappointed over and over and over and over and over again. For others, it means kneeling or standing or coming forward or letting your tears fall without explaining yourself. For some of us, the most uncomfortable thing isn't physical. It's actually internal, where we're removing the places and things in our hearts that keep us guarded. And it's worshiping while we're still waiting for the answers. And it's praising while we're still waiting for God to show up and produce breakthrough in our lives. Why? Because comfort says, I'll worship God when God proves himself. And faith says, I'll worship God because he already has. And this is the heartbeat of every service that we do. It's bringing to God everything. Because listen to me, God's not asking you to perform. He's asking you to respond. I want our worship team to come up. And this morning, I'm not going to make an altar call. We're going to get into the presence of God. And listen to me. If you want to leave, by all means. This ain't that kind of church. You're not going to find us on TikTok going, lock the doors. No. You leave if you want to. You leave if you feel you gave God everything he's worthy of. I will not judge you. No one here will look at you. No one here will ridicule you. That's between you and the Lord. But if we could just take a few moments, because listen to me, we do not step out of comfort to impress God. We step out of comfort because we've seen him. Because we have seen Jesus crucified, risen, victorious, still bearing the scars of our sins. Listen, we worship because what we have experienced is real. And comfortable worship feels too small of a price to pay. comfortable worship feels too small of a response when you realize that the King of Glory, he left heaven, he put on flesh, he carried our cross, he endured our shame, and he stood in our place. When you understand the gravity of what Jesus did on the cross for you, I mean the real gravity, and some of you, you know this, because some of you have battled addictions with all kinds of horrific drugs, and that's not, listen, that's a beautiful thing because Jesus died for that. Some of you, you've been the worst husbands and the worst fathers, and I'll step in that gap for you because I have missed the mark over and over and over again. We are convinced that God is holy. We are convinced that God is worthy. We are convinced that Jesus is alive. We are convinced that he is worth our comfort. And so this morning, right now, for a few more minutes, I want to invite you, don't worship the way that you're used to. Worship the way that he deserves.